News and interviews from your community every morning on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us here on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Setter back at the spot where he handles our producer job, so we appreciate that. Mr. Macatrillo's got the day off, so we're monitoring things in the newsroom remotely, but we, so far so good. Our winternet list has stood pat for the past hour or so, with Southern Columbia being the latest addition. That is a closure, and Columbia Montour Votech added lately, and those are both closures at those locations. On the news line with us now is Carmen Gillespie, a professor of English at Bucknell University and the director of the Griot Institute for Africana Studies at Bucknell. Thank you so much for calling in, Carmen. Glad to hear from you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks so much on this chilly morning.
Oh, yeah. How about that? Yes. Single-digit temperatures around here all the way across the valley. But nobody's below zero, so I guess that's the good side.
Facing
change is the theme of the Martin Luther King Jr. Week observances at Bucknell University. How does that name apply? Facing change.
Yes, thanks for the question. We actually got that from a quotation by author James Baldwin. And what he said many years ago was that not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it's faced. And we thought that in terms of Dr. King's work and many of the contemporary challenges that we face today, that that might be an open-ended way of approaching this week's MLK celebrations
All right, so that is the way that you're attacking this, this idea that if you identify an issue, you got to sort of identify the problem. And a lot of times that involves kind of looking in the mirror, you know, where in are our inherent biases and so on. That might have been something that the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King did best, was to help get us to look at ourselves before we move on. Before we list some of the elements in the schedule, is that a part of this theme that is self-reflection of our own biases is still very important for us today?
Absolutely. About 4 years ago, we started doing the more extensive week-long celebrations of MLK Week at Bucknell. And the point of it is to, precisely as you suggest, have that kind of conversation, that kind of introspection, to think about the ways in which Dr. King's legacy isn't just something, a relic of the past, that has pertinence for today and our challenges at the contemporary moment, particularly, as you say, in terms of this sort of great divide that we seem to find ourselves in at this moment.
Now, the Facing Change schedule is posted at bucknell.edu, and so we certainly invite people to go there and check that out and look at the whole schedule, but give us some of the highlights of the activities this week.
Absolutely. excuse me. We start with a lunch afternoon at noon with alumni who actually got a chance to meet Dr. King when he came to Bucknell. A lot of people don't realize that in 1958, Dr. King visited Bucknell and visited the campus. And so he's going to recount some of his experiences meeting Dr. King and talk a little bit about how that influenced him as his successful career as a lawyer and as an academic. Later that night, we have Jason Skokol, who's going to be talking about the death and legacy of Dr. King. As you know, last year was the 50th anniversary of his assassination, Dr. King's assassination. And so he's written a book talking specifically about that. We also, just to say, we invite everyone in the community to come, especially to the evening lectures, because the conversation can't take place if it's just on campus. So on Tuesday, we keep going with Patricia Macias-Rojas, who's going to be talking about immigration and, again, what could be more pertinent at this moment than to the conversation about immigration. And her specific study on that is about the connection between immigration and incarceration. And then on Wednesday, we have Professor Nicholas Villanueva, who's going to be talking about a little-known historical phenomenon that took place at the turn of the century on the Mexican border when there were many lynchings of Mexicans. I think people are more familiar with the lynchings of African Americans at the turn of the century, but Professor Villanueva will enlighten us about that phenomenon as well. And then we end up the week with Abram Kendi's National Book Award winning talk, and well, his book won the National Book Award, and he's going to be talking about that book, which is called Stamped from the Beginning: The History of Racist Ideas in America. So we have a very full week, and we hope people will join us in spite of this bitter cold we seem to be experiencing.
Well, and some of these events call attention to service and work in the community. Sort of describe how that call to action is going out.
Well, thank you for that as well. We do have a charitable gift drive that will be going on all week, and people can bring goods to either the Elaine Lingam Center, which is the main building in the center of campus, or to the evening lectures to support our local charities.
Tell me about the Griot Center for Africana Studies. Dig into what you're leading there.
Thank you very much for asking. The Griot is a center that's devoted to the intellectual and artistic currents and culture and products of the African diaspora. So we have a lecture series that happens every spring in which we sort of ask a question. What's a fundamental question that people will be interested in and that has yet to be resolved in terms of that history and intellectual current? So, for example, we did a series many years ago on the question of what is the relevance of Sally Hemings and Thomas Jefferson to the American experiment and to what we understand or how we understand ourselves as Americans. This year we're tackling the black unfamiliar, which is talking about what does it mean to think about blackness in the 21st century. We also have a book publishing line. We do excursions to various places, cultural locations. We've been to the African American Smithsonian Museum, for example. And we have a study abroad program, but I'd invite people to go to the webpage and find out more about what we're doing, because, again, our programming is very open to the community, and we'd welcome people to come at any point.
As far as the United States slowly becomes more accepting and less prejudiced and less biased, are we on schedule? Should we be farther along in terms of putting deep racism and institutional racism behind us? Or are these ongoing sort of pop-up issues that occur in our community, are these the growing pains of progress marching on, maybe right on schedule? Are we behind or on schedule on where we should be on in terms of slowly becoming a more accepting and diverse society?
That is a profound question, and I defer to Dr. King when he said that the moral arc of the universe bends towards justice. To me, that's a sort of open-ended timeline in many ways. Of course, the progress that was made in the 1960s, it seems to me, has in some ways had some serious challenges in the most current state that we find ourselves in. Although it seems to me that progress, if we want to define it in that way, is always one step forward, two steps back in terms of the question of race and our deep need to interrogate our historical roots in slavery and the ways in which that informs how we understand racial prejudice. I would have hoped that we would be further ahead than we are now, personally. And I hope that we can regain some of that progress as people are becoming more aware, perhaps, and more concerned about how that manifests and how it affects our wellness, our being as a nation.
What should we do? What is next as a nation and as individuals? What should we do?
Well, again, I wish I had all of the wisdom that Dr. King and others had. I would, from my own perspective, suggest that people take seriously the issue of racism and see the way that it detracts from what's possible for all of us as a nation and as a world. It's such a force of of evil, and it's so unnecessary in terms of what we need to come together and to fulfill our potential as a country and as human beings. So this history learning, what is it that has happened? What finds us in the situation that we're in now? And I find that it's more and more distracting these days to try and find out what that history is. But to learn the history and then to begin to examine what biases may have come out of that for individuals and to try and work on them in a sincere and open way, a non-defensive way that allows for real change.
Well, please,
on an individual level, and then perhaps in terms of organizationally as well.
Please make a sort of a pitch for people to look into and attend and take action as prescribed with the Bucknell University Facing Change activities this week. Please invite people.
Absolutely. Again, I reiterate, one of the most important it seems to me the responsibilities of the university is to engage the communities that surround us. And so please join us at Bucknell for Facing Change. And we'll have activities throughout the week. As Mark mentioned, all of the information is on our website. Also, please join us for the GRIO activities throughout the spring. And there are many, many other things going on campus around these issues of race and social justice. So please keep apprised of the local news, and you'll see what's going on campus. Everyone is welcome.
Well, thank you so much for all the information and the discussion. Come and visit us in our studio one day. We'd love to hear from you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
And meet you in person, please. And we hope to see you on campus as well.
Thank you. Stay warm.
Thank you. We're working on it. It's on the agenda today. Thank you so much. Carmen Gillespie is the director of the GRIO Center, a GRIO Institute for Africana Studies at Bucknell University. You can email her at grio@bucknell.edu, which is GRIOT. GRIOT is GRIO. She's a professor of English at Bucknell University. Thank you, Mike Ferlazzo, for setting up our interview this morning. And thank you, Rob Center, fabulous producer.